Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Molly and Hall, live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
3-2, wrapped to second. Madrigal got handcuffed, and finally the hot potato ends up with Leury Garcia. The Sox get one, and that was really dicey.
Well, this is going to be two, and Nick has really been fighting it in the field. This takes a bad hop, and it looks like when you're really struggling, things happen to you that you just can't predict.
I know the Sox do from Tim Anderson.
Ball's hit well to left field. Vaughn running toward the line, and he can't make the play. It's down on the deck, and the Mariners will get a second run.
Runner goes, and that's a stolen base easily for Fraley. He will get credited for the steal as the ball ended up in the backstop. He was running, and it's 3-0 for Crawford.
This one sailed on Lucas. He got on the side of this baseball. And Collins was getting up to throw it, and that ball just sailed inside to Fraley.
Sox are rather fortunate with the balance that Fraley didn't end up at third.
And Contreras gets hit by a pitch. And Contreras points out at Boxberger. Contreras upset Narvaez. And now some guys start to come out of the dugouts. And Contreras walking over toward the Milwaukee bench. Now the bullpen's come running in. No punches have been thrown. Contreras got hit by the pitch by Boxberger and got very mad. Of course, he had that pitch buzz his tower earlier in the game. Well, was it last night that he got hit in the helmet?
Well, Contreras got hit in the helmet last night. Now he gets hit again. Javi got buzzed up and in. Rizzo's been hit. Bryant's been hit. You know, so that's the issue. The Cubs have been hit now five times in the series, you know, and Cubs haven't hit the Brewers yet.
No punches were thrown. Both benches emptied. Bullpen guys came scampering in from right field from the Milwaukee bullpen and left center from the Cubs pen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Wow. That was fantastic stuff. Our thanks to the fine folks at NBC Sports Chicago for the White Sox highlights or lowlights. And, of course, WSCR, great job by Pat and Ron as they break down the Wilson Contreras upset over being hit by a pitch. And, look, I think that, you know, he's a very emotional guy. He's kind of a dangerous character sometimes. He can blow up, and you know he had to be kind of held back a little bit. He was so mad about that, and there's something about everybody running out of the dugout and everybody scampering into the outfield. That's hysterical. I don't know why I'm amused by it, but I got to tell you, I felt like we were going to get sick of the Brewers in a hurry, and I think it's already happened.
when you were describing somebody getting a little bit hot and a little bit feisty and a little bit hard to control, were you describing Contreras or Coomer? Because Coom sounded ticked.
Coom sounded ready to throw at someone.
He's like, they haven't responded yet. Did you get that?
They've been hit too many times in this series.
He has the idea, and he leaves it open there. Will there be retaliation today when Kyle Hendricks takes the mound for the Cubs in a day game here on the Score? And you wonder, Molly. I mean, I get it, because that was real emotion, and Ron Coomer was reacting in the moment the way the Cubs were reacting in the moment. It was 4-0. Wilson Contreras had been hit in the head the night before. I think it was the third pitch from Bamberger. I don't know that it was something that was maybe intentional as much as something that got away. At the same time, you're not looking for explanations or rationalizations at that time. You just know that you got hit again and your team got hit again. So I think this bears watching, and we'll see. But it was hearing Pat Hughes describe it is the best. I was just waiting for him to use the word Donnybrook.
I love the idea of the tower getting. He said at one
tower
point
getting buzzed.
Yeah, that's a very funny baseball term.
Boxburger
for a horrible plunks. Thing. Let's get that straight.
Boxburger has lost control. And yeah, Wilson Contreras is upset.
Yeah, Brad Boxburger. It doesn't make sense that he would hit him when they're up 4-0. Here's the problem, David. This is the issue that you have here. Is the Cubs aren't hitting. They aren't scoring runs. So can you afford to hit a guy? Can you afford to put someone on base in order to send a message? Do you want the professor out there pitching the best game he can? Or, hey, you know, your pinpoint accuracy, just put one on a guy's rear end and send a message. But why do that? I don't know. I think it's awful early. I understand some pitchers don't seem to have their act together yet. I don't think it is a conspiracy to hit the Cubs. I think that the Cubs are frustrated in part because of their own offense. And I think that if you are not hitting, it's hard to try to retaliate because you could put yourself in a bad position. And if a guy you hit ends up scoring, then you got to ask yourself, are you capable of answering that run? So it's just I'm not joking. Start hitting.
You're not a team that offensively can afford to fall behind because you've shown no consistency in your ability to get ahead. So it's a good point. Here's another question I have for you. Would it make any difference in the way that we look at this if the starting pitcher today were not maybe the most cerebral guy in the league that you would think that be have on the mound? You know, when you think of Kyle Hendricks, you don't think of a guy that necessarily is the person you're going to send out there to settle a score. You're going to look at him as a guy to settle things down. And I wonder if that factors into the equation at all. And if it were somebody else, you might have a different result or a different direction this heads, because you do have to play the Brewers 16 more times after today. We know that both teams don't really like each other, but is this the line that you want to draw this early in the season?
No, it's not. And I think the other element here is that, you know, Kyle Hendricks struggled in his first start. It was a cold day and everybody, you know, he couldn't get a grip on the ball, and I'm accused of making up excuses for him. And today he'll have no excuse. The weather is going to be beautiful and he'll be on the bump and he can do his magic. And hopefully that's all that he's thinking about, and that's all he's concentrating on. And I think that, you know, if he has the kind of pinpoint control that he's known for, then it won't matter if he plunks someone or not, or if there is this feeling that they have to get back. You just don't want to get in a situation where anybody gets thrown out of a game because you're retaliating over some unwritten rule. This is a game where, and I think the Cubs starting pitching has been excellent to start the year. No question about that. But he didn't have his best outing in the first game of the year, and I think it was due to the fact that he couldn't get the kind of grip on the ball that he needs, and he won't have that excuse today. So let the guy pitch. Let the guy go out there and paint a little masterpiece and win the game and move forward and win the series and feel good about everything.
100 quality pitches, conservative, efficient, play his game, throw his game, and you want to get out of there now with 2 out of 3 against the Brewers. get, you know, if you start 4-2, that's what you're looking for. And you're going against Brandon Woodruff from the Cubs standpoint. Now you have an opportunity to get some people well, perhaps. Jock Peterson is the one that I would have, I don't want to say the most concern about, but you've got to feel like he is pressuring himself at this point. You referenced earlier in the show about Andrew Vaughn, how he must feel, have the weight lifted. He finally got his first major league hit last night. Wouldn't you like to see, from a Cubs perspective, Jock Peterson finally get going? Because after his spring expectations were maybe kicked up a notch, and then he hasn't hit. And so Here we are. You know, it's a good opportunity for him to get going today, score some runs, let the professor pitch his game, and get out of there with the series victory.
That's what you, that is the only thing you need here. That is the point of the whole exercise. Win series. Start stacking together victories and series, and you're going to be laughing. And this is, you know, this is a division opponent. I understand how tired you get of people when you have to see them all this time, and they're going to, you know, they're going to play them a lot more. I know they play them early. They've got, 8 of their first 19 against them, whatever the number, 9 of 18, I think it is. So obviously you're getting games out of the way, but man, it's like you just don't want to start anything that or finish anything. And I guess you feel like you got to stand up for yourself. I just think the priority's got to be a win, and we need to see Kyle Hendricks get it, because he did not get that opportunity, in my opinion, in the first game because of the weather. And now the weather's going to be good. Let's see him pitch a good game.
Don't lose your composure. Yeah, don't lose sight of what's important, what's most important, because this Cubs team needs to continue with this focus. They need to get off to a good start before people start asking the kinds of questions that have been coming across the text line this morning, Molly. 312-644-6767. This is a good one. Quote, at what point do we finally say the Cubs core – is not great? And I don't know that I'm willing yet to go there, because I think when you talk about this core, it did win a World Series. It was 5 years ago, but this core did produce a World Series title. So by definition, isn't that great? Wasn't that a great season? You wanted more. You deserved more. They should be, you know, in a position to get more. But this Cubs, This Cubs ongoing conversation is kind of, how is the season going, but also how's the era going? Because everything is kind of built into this whole idea. This could be the last chance to see these players together. If they disassemble and they don't win another title, was it a great core? I don't know that you can definitively answer that yet.
Well, I mean, the achievement of winning the World Series was extraordinary. The Cubs seemed to arrive early, and that gave you the feeling that they were going to be here for a very long time, and they were going to be a player in this thing for a very long time. And for whatever reason, things didn't play out in the way that we expected them to. And so here you are now. And I thought it was interesting, because Rizzo yesterday said that he said of his contract, I don't think there's a reason to listen right now. He said, I think I gave them every fair opportunity the past couple of years. So, you know, and he has. He has talked about wanting to be a Cub for life and that sort of thing, and they haven't made that move. And they haven't made that move with a lot of different guys for a lot of different reasons. I think Rizzo, of all those guys, is the guy that is most likely to change his approach at the plate when he gets a couple strikes on him. He's the guy that's going to battle better for every at bat. But I think that all of them, one of the reasons that these contract extensions haven't happened is because these players haven't proven themselves to be worthy of them. That, you know, as great as Baez is as a wizard in the field, he struggled at bat. You know, he went from a guy that was a runner-up MVP to a guy that has just been, kind of still a great defender, but another guy at the plate. And, you know, you look at Chris Bryant, and this is a guy that was an actual MVP in the year they won the World Series. And, my God, you know, his future, the guy comes up, he's Rookie of the Year, he's like the best minor league player, he's Rookie of the Year, he's, you know, you name the award, MVP, everybody is in love with this guy and how great he is, and he's just not produced at on offense. So I don't know that we have a reason to be arguing about whether or not people should be extended or whether it's on their minds and they're under pressure as a result. I mean, the bottom line is you got to earn the money that you think you have coming. And if you can't get anything done, and I'm talking collectively, not just individually, you're not going to see that stuff.
But let's be clear here. The Cubs have tried to keep all of these guys. And you know, you, when you look at Anthony Rizzo, in the most recent example, I think we both have, you know, criticized, if that's too strong of a word, we both have discussed how the five-year, $70 million offer that was reported kind of didn't reflect maybe what the Cubs are going to have to pay to keep Anthony Rizzo. But they did try and were close to, by all accounts, a contract extension a year ago with Javi Baez before the pandemic, which changed, I think, the economics of baseball, maybe changed how they view that. But they did make an offer to him. And Chris Bryant, going back a couple years now, has got to live with the reality that he did turn down a contract that was reported an offer north of $200 million. That's got to weigh so heavily now, because he is not going to have that size of a contract, whatever his next deal is with whoever he signs it with. That is not going to be the size of the contract. So the Cubs have tried, as to some degree, to get these guys signed. We're willing to make those kinds of investments at different times in those negotiations. But those players gambled, and we'll see whether or not they were smart gambles or not. But so far, we're just, you know, here we are in this sort of, you know, this period of uncertainty, not knowing what to expect with any of those guys moving forward.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. What do you expect moving forward? And you know, are we harping on this for the wrong reason? Again, Anthony Rizzo was asked about it, and he talks about it again yesterday. But I think it's on the forefront of everyone's consciousness. And every time you lose a game and you don't score, you look at the same people and you wonder how they're doing. And, you know, you mentioned it earlier, David. Jock Peterson, another guy that's in a, you know, walk year, trying to prove something. And he started slow after basically being Mr. Cactus League. So we'll see if they can get their bats warmed up as the heat is coming in. And hopefully today is the start of it. 312-644-6767. Mullion on the score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It was definitely a grinder outing. The third inning, pretty tough. I think that I lost my slot a little bit coming into the stretch, and it kind of took me a little bit to get synced back in. The Vonnie, hell of an effort on that play in left. If I make a better pitch there, it's probably a better result. But hell of an effort by him. I think that, it's just one of those really weird, tough innings, and we were able to get through it. And the offense, of course, did their job to get us back on top.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Lucas Giolito. He is the ace of the staff, and he is a man that got a victory yesterday and had 10 strikeouts in doing so, but they ran afoul of one bad inning, and that bad inning due to the fact that there were some defensive lapses and some issues that kind of popped up that the Sox have been dealing with basically since the year started. So Lucas Giolito touched with a three-run inning, and he credits Andrew Vaughn for not making the play in left field. I mean, he says Vaughn made a hell of an effort, and if I had a better pitch, that's a good teammate who at the moment may have been a little miffed as that happened.
Might have been. I think he might have been even more reason to be miffed at the way that Nick Madrigal botched a double play opportunity. I would think that there seems to be a more of an understanding, and it seems as if the White Sox players are rooting for Andrew Vaughn to succeed in left field because they know the circumstances he was thrust out there under. So I don't think he's going to have as high of a standard or expectation. So when he sees a guy who, as Steve Stone pointed out during the broadcast, if that's an experienced left fielder, he probably makes that play. I think the White Sox kind of understand or giving him a little bit more latitude to maybe, come short in so those kind of situations. Whereas I don't know. I know Madrigal is also technically a rookie. I just think that, boy, that third inning, that started to get off the rails because he didn't make the play when he could have made the play, and he bobbled a double play ball. And then it seemed as if Giolito after that was a little bit more, he wasn't agitated. He didn't show emotion, but I think that he would have more reason to think that was a play that should have been made.
Well, I think, correct me if I'm not mistaken, but I'm pretty sure Madrigal has played his position before. I don't know that you can hold Vaughn to the same standard. How about Vaughn? Do you like that as a nickname?
No, not at all.
Vaughn?
No.
Just throw a Y on the end of it, you got the guy's nickname.
What I don't think Maddie? So. Is Maddie, he's not a hockey player, Madrigal? Okay? No, not Maddie either. That sounds
Yeah.
No, I don't. Nicky Two Strikes, isn't that what they call him now?
I don't know that that's his real nickname. But
I don't know that Vaughn. I'm going to put a kibosh on Vaughn.
That's fair. No. That's fair.
And Andy. He's not Andy. He's Andrew. They call him Andrew.
He's got to be Andrew. Okay.
I don't know about a nickname. I'll have to think about that one. But
he called him Vaughn. I heard it loud as day.
Okay. Don't you think they have probably a deeper well of patience when it comes to him in left field than they do at Madrigal second base?
Yes, because again, Vaughn is a guy that is filling a position because someone got hurt and they're trying to get his bat in the lineup and they're trying to, use as many people as possible. Mercedes is a guy that needs to be playing DH, so Andrew Vaughn is a left fielder, and obviously you want to keep Yermin's bat in the lineup, and you want to give Grandal, Yazzie, a break here and there, and so you've got Zach Collins behind the plate. He hit a two-run homer. Vaughn, was it a three-run homer? It was a three-run homer. Vaughn hit a homer, we know the grand slam by Abreu, but Louis Robert hit his first home run too.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Please.
You mentioned Grandal. Grandal was not in the lineup last night.
No.
And I understand that they're planning and they're plotting and they've got, you know, the home opener, and you've got a left-hander and Paxton on the mound, right?
Yes.
So you're starting Zach Collins behind the plate. And it turned out well because, look, Zach Collins hit a home run. So, yes. Boom, great move, right?
Yep.
Great move.
Got him a lead, three-run homer.
Did you wonder about that at first? Because
yes. I was worried that something might be wrong with Grandal. Because the advantage the White Sox have, that yesterday was what? Their 17th consecutive victory over a left-handed starter. The advantage they have is Grandal is a switch hitter. Moncada's a switch hitter. So, like, you know, they've got left-handed bats that suddenly are part of their right-handed attack, and they got right-handed power hitters. So lefty pitchers, they've dominated in part because of the way they've constructed the team. So when you end up starting a left-handed catcher over a guy that is a switch hitter, you do kind of wonder why did they do that. And didn't Grandal hit a home run the day before?
So yeah.
It went through my head, no question.
And I'm not going to sit here and we're going to daily have these debates over Tony La Russa's lineup. There, I'm sure, are reasons behind, well thought out, and he's an observational analytics guy. Okay. That one struck me as a little bit odd. Now, Zach Collins hits the home run, but he also, in that very bizarre third inning, a comedy of errors and miscues, there was a wild swinging missed third strike. He got in the dirt, got away from Collins. And this always scares me, Molly. We saw it the other night with Ohtani landing on Jose Abreu. When you have these little league type plays at the plate.
Yes.
And Giolito was covering.
Bothered me.
And Zach Collins flipped the ball kind of blindly to get it there. And you saw Giolito have to step over the sliding runner. That's when accidents and injuries happen that you can't afford. And I just, whoa, you hold your breath a little bit.
I totally agree with you, David. I had the exact same thought. And I do hate when those kind of plays happen. But that's baseball. I mean, you've got to be able to cover the position that you're required to cover. But, you know, you look at a guy like Lucas Giolito. That thought went through my head after that play. Like, you know, that's a big tree of a man. And he's got, like, a very strong base, and it's a little awkward. And, you know, I thought Ohtani went down pretty hard. And it wasn't – it was no problem to me, anything Abreu did. He's trying to score.
Right.
And the guy didn't give him any room. But I thought the exact same thing when Giolito did.
I would tell these guys, okay, Ohtani is a unique player, right?
Right.
Lucas Giolito is your ace. You know, when you talk about the football equivalent of a franchise quarterback making a tackle on an interception, you tell him, don't do that. I would tell these guys in baseball, don't cover home plate. Stay out of the path of any potential base runner. Don't do things that would put you in harm's way. Even if you think that it's the right thing to do and instinctively that's what you want to follow, don't do it. The result could be too catastrophic to the White Sox season if Lucas Giolito would have come down on an ankle and turned an ankle and missed 6 weeks. Who knows? You know what I mean? Just avoid it. All costs.
I got to tell you, I mean, I'm not lying to you. That thought went through my head, and I was like, you know, okay. Yeah. You know, he's okay. He came back. Yeah. He's going to continue to pitch. You can't – listen, for whatever reason, and maybe it's because Aloy and that bizarre injury and losing him for what is it now, 3 months? Have they shaved any more time off it, or are they added to it? For 5 or 6 months.
Opening day 2022.
Oh, boy.
Really? Sorry.
You have to? I thought we decided.
If the choices are Memorial Day or opening day next year, I know which way I'm going.
Wow. You are just – you don't believe. Yeah, I'm going the other way. It's just my ornery nature. Okay, you got me stopped. And then you look at Tim, and you look at Angle. They've got enough of these naggy injuries, and they got enough of disaster injury. You don't need to lose another player the rest of the season. And I get it. There's depth, and there's guys but you can't lose that guy. And that's probably why it goes through your head, because little dumb things happen. I mean, you know, I know no one likes Aloy as an outfielder, and everybody says that, you know, all the jokes about Andrew Vaughn is just as good as him and all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, the Aloy play is one of the weirdest things. Like, you, that's not because he got tangled up in it. He obviously shouldn't have tried to make the play, but you never see that injury. And that's one of the problems you have with determining when he's coming back, because who the hell ever had that injury in baseball? It just is a weird way to get yourself hurt. And I don't think it had anything to do with him being a bad outfielder. I think it was just, you know, he reached over and it was a weird play and he got a weird injury. And unfortunately, it's going to keep him out for a while, but hopefully not the entire season.
But I'm okay with reminding these guys that you are too valuable to miss time. So be more conservative. Err on the side of caution. You're not going to prove anything by being Mr. Hustle. This is not what you're doing at the major league level. You are. We know what you are, because it just coincided, Mully, when we talked about Lucas Giolito's night last night in his outing against the Mariners. Steve Stone alluded to it, how it seemed, and even Lucas after the game, how he sort of grinded it out and things came a little bit harder. All of that happened after the third inning or from the third inning on. And you wonder what effect the defensive miscues had on his state of mind, because you know what? When he came out, you were getting ready to call your sons and daughters again, because five straight over two perfect innings, it was like, here we go again. Lucas is on fire.
Yeah, he's awful good. And I wonder, you know, we'll bring in Ozzie Guillen next. We'll talk to Ozzie. I'm sure that annoys the hell out of a manager.
Oh, God.
But how does that affect a starting pitcher? And how do you let it roll off you? And how do you say, oh, Vaughny tried his best, I should have thrown a better pitch?
Andy. Yeah,
how do you say Vaughny when you've already banned that nickname?
Vaughny. All right.
I'm sorry.
We'll bring in Ozzie next. Wally and Haw, The Score.
Vaughny.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Ozzie Guillen.
That's a White Sox baseball.
Analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
La Pantera. My man is trying Pantera.
La Pantera.
There you go.
2005 World Series winning manager of the White Sox.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
No holes barred baseball opinions.
Eaton, nobody like you.
Did you give Adam Dunn a mental break, or he just...
I had two bottles of vodka.
Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Hall on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to Ozzie Guillen, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Good morning, Ozzie. How are you?
Morning, Oz.
Good morning, guy. Hey, thank you for the introduction.
How about that's our guy Ray Diaz? He's got a new open for you. Always fun to hear it.
Good, that was a good one.
So, Ozzie, help us out here. So we're talking about the issues that popped up with some of the defense, and it's, you know, we've seen it to start the season. We've seen the White Sox make some blunders, make some errors, give up unearned runs. You know, now I guess that's not the case yesterday when you do the final assessment, but you still saw a bobbled ball by Nick Madrigal. You got to turn a double play there. You saw Andrew Vaughn struggling in the outfield. You know, I don't blame him. He's trying his best. It's not a position that he's used to. And then you see Zach Collins, you know, guy hit a three-run homer, but he did have a little bit of an issue in terms of fielding the ball, you know, or preventing a ball from getting away from him there. When you add all these things up, is this the sort of thing that's going to bite this team? Are you surprised that a team we thought had solved some of their defensive dilemmas a year ago is now back to playing, frankly, subpar defense?
Well, you know, I mean, the guys making the big errors, you know, I mean, you're looking about Adam Eaton. Adam Eaton's a good outfield. He always makes the play. La Pantera, he missed the ball.
Right.
Like Jose Canseco did, you know, running the coconut. And I thought, I don't worry about Madrigal with the errors, because that can, you know, that will happen, hopefully get better. But so he made that error in Oakland, it seemed like he went backwards. I think it seemed like he lost confidence. One thing I worry about it, when after he makes the error, they shut him, and it seemed like he was worried, like he's like panicking, like he was like, you know, this, when you're a kid, the last thing, and your big boy's pitching, the last thing you want to do is make an error. But that can affect you later on, because I hope they're not coming like, oh, please don't hit it to me, because all of a sudden you will create a lot of problems. I will, you know, I will summon the White Sox, Miguel Cairo, or somebody go there and say, listen, you know what? You got to make errors, and you got to make good plays. Errors part of the game. But I really don't worry, but, you know what I mean? I like, come on, guys, you got to make the pitching start throwing more innings or more pitching and more. They got to use more pitchers because you can make the play. But the body language after he made the error last night is the kind I will worry about it, because I don't know what you're going to get to it. But I think they're going to be better defensively. There's no doubt, especially when Tim Anderson come back. Those guys at the Pantera, it's a good outfield. Ethan obviously go, you know, I never see Collins catching. That's the first time I've seen him. Only two games I see him catching. But when you have Jolito, you know, you catching and Jolito's on the mound, it's something. This is something about him, because Jolito had the privilege to say who he won behind the plate. And, you know, but she's calling last night behind the plate. I was kind of happy for him and happy because Jolito won it. He won him on behind the plate.
Ozzy, how do you explain what your main Mercedes is doing? And how? What's the key to him adjusting once pitchers begin to adjust to what he's doing?
You know what? This can be a lot of people excited about Tony, Hendrick, Link, all those the moves they make in the winter. But when this kid make the ball club, like he comes from middle of nowhere, he's just happy to be in spring training, happy to wear a uniform, not just big league uniform, a uniform. Coming where he come from, went through a lot of bad situations in the minor league. 99% of the players will quit, retire, and go home and, you know, try to get another job. Well, this kid's a good hitter. I don't know if he can play in the field because I've never seen him in the field, but he's a good hitter. You can see his approach at the plate. He don't want to do much. He just want to have contact. He got power. He can hit every size of the field. Last night, he did two things. He had a great at bat. He moved the guy over with the game on the line. He moved the guy over. He swung the ball over his head, moved the guy over, did a tremendous job. Something the White Sox been missing, something baseball been missing. Play the game. The other one, when he created a walk to give opportunity to his teammate to hit a home run. And how low it going to be? I don't care, it's 0-for-100. This kid bring a lot of great day for the White Sox players. They love him. They have a great time. And Tony La Russa like good at bat. And that's what this kid's doing it for the White Sox right now. And I think, you know, get good at bat is easy. Get a hit is very hard. And I think this guy do what he's supposed to do at the plate to stay in the lineup.
It, you know, what's fascinating about it is obviously he's hit at every level, and, you know, it's just this heartwarming story of a guy, as you say, that could have easily quit and stays with it, and now here he is, a 28-year-old rookie, and he starts the season with just an unbelievable beginning to it. He's named the AL Player of the Week, and we're three games into his career, and then you start thinking about what the counter will be. They're going to go to work on him and try to find a hole in what he's doing. I agree with you about his good at-bats and how important that is, but I just wonder, have you seen a story like this, Ozzy? Can you remember a guy coming out of nowhere at his age and having this kind of a start to his career?
No chance at all. You know, first of all, when you come from Latin America, besides Cuban players, they sign when they're 16, they get released when they're 18. They never give them opportunity because since soon it's a Panama, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, all around Latin America, Nicaragua, Colombia. If you older than you 16, 7, you 18 years old, you're too old. They don't sign you. They even looking at you. Now give these kids the opportunity. Showing always I say something. Why they not let those guys, Latin kids, grow up to be a man and then make that decision? Because those kids when 18, 19 years old, you don't know what they're going to get. They know, you don't know what they're going to have. You can see with the Cuban players. Cuban players that come here, they can be 40, or they can be 22, they can be 28. You can see the difference. When they make it to a big league, the different type of players. Why? Because they're already a man. They already grew up and stuff like that. But I love what I see. I don't think, you know, when you put a ball in play, you always going to have a chance. And that's what this kid does. And he got power. You know what he do in the play? How long going to be? It's only a few players can hit 340, 390. The long I know, only a few ones in baseball. I don't think going to hit 700 like he's doing right now. But I tell you what, this kid is going to have the opportunity. And I think hopefully he stay. He just want to be to help the ball club. I talked to him a couple of days ago. He just want to be there, help the ball club. Anytime Tony La Russa use him, he go out and do the best. When they don't use him, he'll be the same guy.
Ozzie, the Sox are 3-3, but the games that they have lost have included the bullpen losing leads, and we just didn't really expect that so soon. It's going to happen inevitably, but what's happened during the first week of the season, if anything, to change your expectations for the bullpen, or is it just one of those things you have to chalk up to, hey, it's baseball, and you got to give these guys time to get going?
You know what? I know it's early. I know it's only Yolito had two outings. But, you know, me, all pitching staff or starters, I keep saying that day in and day out when Tony got the job, I talked to Tony about it. They got to give us more than four innings. They got to be, you know, me, obviously you see Yolito yesterday fighting to get to six. Besides that, no one passed the fifth. When you do that, obviously you see the bullpen struggle. Why? Because they're on the field more than the starter is. But the bullpen the White Sox have, it can be one of the best bullpen I've seen in a long time. You know, I mean, I know the Yankees got a great bullpen. I know Kansas City Royals, when they win the World Series, they have a great, great bullpen. But this bullpen is legit. Great arms around the plate. They will make mistakes, yes. But I will take this bullpen anytime against any team. That's a manager's dream, have a bullpen like this. The only thing I worry about a little bit, they don't have a long guy. That's I think we miss him because everybody come at the bullpen is one inning guy, hard throw. But we really don't have. Like, I think maybe Ruiz he can give you a couple innings, 10 the innings. But besides that, oh wow, it slides out. It slides out, and I think I don't worry about the bullpen right now.
Ozzie, we'll let you go. Just out of curiosity, we were talking about statues earlier. Would you like to be honored with a statue at Guaranteed Rate Field?
Just be honest, that's the only thing we talk about my house. When hopefully they retire my number one day. The statues, I don't know, I hope. But I think yeah. I earned one. I think I earned it. And yeah. It's up to Jerry. But I love to. That's one thing. My last goal in baseball is King Pros the chapter is to have my number retired by the White Sox.
It's great, Ozzie.
Sure, looking it's coming, Ozzie. Thank yep. you.
Keep Thank up the good guys. Work.
Thank you. Thank
All right,
you,
Oz.
That's Ozzie Guillen. That's fun. I mean, he deserves that. No question about it.
He's honest about it, too. I like guys who are honest about their legacy. He's not like, no, I would never thought about that. No, hey, we've talked about this at our house. You know, it's like, yeah, I get that.
312-644-6767. Shouldn't Ozzie have his number retired? Shouldn't they build a statue to Ozzie, too? With all the statues we see, and obviously Fergie's getting one, and we got a lot of guys that need a statue. Maybe a David Haw statue here at the score.
No. Huh?
No. Terry Bohr's way. We could put up a nice statue of you. You greet everyone because you're a very friendly human. That would be nice.
Thank you.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Odyssey is your new home for all the audio that matters to you. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to the Score. An Odyssey station.
Does your business specialize in kitchen and bath remodeling? Studio 41 is your complete kitchen and bath resource, now featuring the bold look of Kohler. We work with you, providing the service and support to help you get the job done right. Visit a showroom or find us online at shopstudio41.com.
Bet Rivers has an NBA basketball profit boost every Tuesday and Thursday in April. Get a free 20% basketball boost just for logging in. Just go to BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play if you're an Android user and start your wagering right now. It's great to have skin in the game with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. New to BetRivers? Well, you can finish your registration at the sportsbook at Rivers Casino and catch tons of live sports action in a great setting. And with BetRivers, you don't have to wait for your payouts. BetRivers has rush pay. More than 75% of withdrawal requests are approved instantly. Earn $250 in match rewards on your first deposit. And with iRush Rewards, you'll earn rewards with every bet and redeem your rewards points for free bets. Bet with a trusted team that puts you first. Bet where I bet. Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook, not valid for any participant of the Illinois Gaming Board statewide voluntary self-exclusion program. Must be 21 years of age or older. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.